You're listening to Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts, USA.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning
to
night.
Well, thank you everyone for coming to my birthday party. Oh gee, great. You know, I really needed a tie.
Oh yeah, hey there, Jim. That's no problem. You know, I saw that and I said to myself, hey, Jim wears shirts and stuff, so I'm thinking shirts, a tie, it's perfect. A match made in heaven.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Wait, sweetie, here's one more gift for you.
What is it, honey?
Just open it.
Hey, it's a Bible. I've been wanting one, and it's got my name on it.
This is no ordinary Bible. It's the Personal Promise Bible. It doesn't just have your name on it. It's got your name inside it, too.
Let's see. John 3:16. For God so loved Jim. Wow, this is cool.
Check out Proverbs 18:22.
Wow. When Jim found Linda, he found a good thing. I sure did. Thanks, honey.
The Personal Promise Bible, the most thoughtful gift you could ever find. Call toll-free to get your Personal Promise Bible. 1-866-847-7731. A Bible as unique as you are. Online at personalpromisebible.com.
We'll be right back. pass through my will as through a window. Shine on my life as on a meadow. Like the grass to be consumed by the rays of the sun.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff here, General Manager of WSCIRO, Sea Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And I'm glad you have joined in to Faith Talks Live Prayer. And we are going on our fourth year. Can you believe it? Well, anyways, we have lots to talk about. We are in our first Sunday of Lent, 2012, a very significant year. And we're going to really have a smorgasbord of stuff, spiritual stuff to talk about. The spiritual stuff of 2012. And I'm going to have my husband on with me in a few minutes. And his name is Dr. Jeffrey Cannon. And he's going to talk to you. We're gonna explore what the Lord has for 2012. You know, for some of you who have joined us on Faith Talks Live Prayer on Facebook, all right, in both of our prayer groups and also my personal page, Dr. Cheryl, WSDKITV, you have I've been posting at the beginning of the new year a series of prophetic words that the Lord has given me for 2012. And it seems to fall in line with what other special people of God have said. People who function in prophetic and apostolic throughout the body of Christ. Okay, so it's awesome. It's good and it's God. Okay, but what I want to do, okay, is go into a little promo regarding my brother's keeper, because we are all called to be our brother's keeper, okay? And then we'll talk about what the Lord has for 2012. We will also talk about, there are two movies that my husband and I, we saw. We saw it recently, and, you know, we saw it again. One movie is called, I believe it's called Something Out of Time, and then another one is called The Vow. And if I got that first one wrong, my husband will come back later on and correct me, like he always says. He's really good at that. Okay, so anyways, so I just put in a good word for him, so enjoy the rest of the show. And also, again, at the top of the hour, we have the songs that we play. Where I believe it was Scott McCloud's album. It's Contagious, all right, and it's all about his love being contagious. And then John Michael Talbot came on, and he sang Pastor My Will, you know, and he's asking the love of the Lord to pastor my will. And thirdly, Joey McFadder, bless us with Come Holy Spirit, because you know that's all we want. We want the Holy Spirit to just guide this show. And also bring you all into truth, okay? Truth, the spirit of truth. So lots of good things are happening, and I'm just so glad that we were able to do something in February. We've been real busy just doing different things that the Lord's called us to do in our personal time. And guess what? I'm going to be a grandmother. My daughter is going to have... she's 28, and she's going to have her first child September 23rd. She's due September 23rd, and we all know that babies have a mind of their own, right? So that's just the tentative due date, but we are so excited, and God has a lot of great things in store. And a child brings forth blessings. What can we say? But also, my husband and I had the luxury of visiting a Holy Ghost filled Pentecostal campground, Calvary Pentecostal winter camp, the last 3 days of it. And we were on vacation from our secular jobs, and and then he just put in our spirit, and he opened up a window of opportunity where we were able to just steal away, become part of the jet set crowd for February vacation. And we just, you know, we had just stealth away to Virginia. So to, and God was just awesome. Bobby Hogan was the, of Bobby Hogan Ministries, was the keynote speaker. And he was powerful and was right on, because the Lord said, as soon as we come there, he's going to have a step into the new thing, the next thing, the step over the threshold into what the Lord has in our future calling as men and women of God. Now, many of you have calling but have not walked to the door. Well, that's, this is what 2012 is going to be about. And you'll understand what I have to say. And then maybe at some point we'll we have the permission to download and upload to our YouTube station the whole winter camp meeting. So we're going to have Joshua Mills, fresh nuggets from him, from heaven, through his ministry. And Mahesh Chavda, I believe, is coming. And also it's Bobby Hogan, too. So this is so awesome. And Lord, I just ask that you just bless the powerful community in at the campground. And we'll also talk about our experience there, too. So, you know, just stay tuned. This is one of my best shows, and I'm so glad that you guys came and tuned in. Tell your friends more about this. Post links on your blogs. Do whatever you need to do to get Faith Talks Life Prayer out there, all right? Because people are listening. God bless you. I love you. And tune back in. And we'll have this conversation. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The story of my brother's keeper is really the parable of the mustard seed come to life 2,000 years later. In the smallest and simplest of ways, this beautiful ministry was started by God 20 years ago through Jim and Terry Orcutt in the cellar of their home. Since 1988, tens of thousands have been served by my brother's keeper in Christ's name. Thousands more have come closer to Christ by serving at my brother's keeper, living out Jesus' words from the Gospel of Matthew, "Whatever you do for the most humble of my people, you do for me."
We were sitting home alone one Sunday night, planning to watch a Sunday night movie. This movie came on called God Bless the Child, and it was based on an actual story of a woman in Baltimore with a young daughter who became homeless.
We knew that we had to do something. We both agreed that we didn't want to go on with our life the way it was, and we wanted to do something to let people know that God loved them and He would take care of them.
We were inspired to stop my brother's keeper. We had made a decision, and we stood in front of the crucifix and we made a covenant with God. And of course, as you know, a covenant is a two-part agreement, like a contract. And we said, God, we're serious about it. We want to spend the rest of our lives bringing our love and hope to people, but we don't know what to do. So if you'll guide us and you'll show us the way, then our part of the deal, the covenant, will be there'll never be another day for the rest of our lives where this will not become the first thing in our life.
To talk about what my brother's keeper is about is to bring the love and hope of Jesus Christ to those we serve. But it's an example of God working through people. It's a community that God has put together through us. And it's important that we all understand that we're there because of God and because of the work that He wanted to be done.
The mission of my brother's keeper is to help those most in need. Literally, these people quite often are actually sleeping on the rugs or on the floors. These bare, spartan apartments with absolutely nothing. So when my brother's keeper hears of these people and brings them whatever they need, including chairs, beds, television sets, refrigerators, and stocks it with food, Jim Orcutt or his crew will say, "Don't thank us, we're only the delivery men." And they hand them a crucifix. It's a very emotional and moving situation. My brother's keeper is non-judgmental. They serve irrespective of race, color, or creed. They don't even inquire about that. All they do is worry about what the need is, and they fulfill it. The community that they service, which started just strictly in the Brock, you know, has now spread out so it goes 20 miles north and 50 miles south, encompassing several thousand families every year.
And part of the mission that really touched me the most has probably been that the mission is about bringing Christ to people instead of just bringing them food or furniture. When you come into the warehouse, you see a whole warehouse filled with furniture and food, but it's a lot more than that. It's about bringing hope to people and bringing the love of Jesus to people.
It's almost like little miracles every time I go in there. You know, be it that we can deliver Christmas presents to thousands of families within a 3 to 4 week period. We're bringing something like a bed to someone and it overwhelms them to the point of tears. There's someone out there watching out for these people. There's so much passion behind what they do. And everybody there cares so deeply about every call that comes in and every family that we go out to deliver to. And I've just never been a part of anything, you know, any group of people that care so much about the work that they're doing and every single person that they're out to help. Jim and Terry's life of service is probably the most difficult thing to put into words, because it's just, they're almost, the dedication that they've brought to this organization is almost unreal. I mean, you never expect to meet such wonderful people in your life.
I love to go to my brother's keeper, because I see a lot there what I don't see every day, you know, what they do for people.
Jim and Terry are wonderful examples of, you know, how you should live your life. You want to help them continue to do the good work they're doing. I'm privileged to support my brother's keeper, because I am in love with the mission that they do about caring for those who are most in need. It gives you one of the good feelings when you can help people who are really in trouble like that and show them there is hope in their lives.
It took a lot to swallow my pride, and I was really amazed at how nice they were and that they treated us with such dignity.
They are the most unselfish organization I've ever known. They just help people who need help. And I think that if people help people who need help, this would be a better place to live. They've made my life a better life.
The kids that come in and volunteer now are the next generation of, you know, dedicated volunteers. So I'm excited to see what it brings in the future. And I hope that, you know, 20 years from now, it's just as strong as it has been the last 20 years and it keeps growing.
I view the 20th anniversary as a beginning of a new chapter of my brother's keeper. We were given, Terry and I, the great privilege of being involved in the birth of my brother's keeper, and bringing it to the point where it is today, of being part of that process. And but it's only the beginning. The thousands of people involved are going to take my brother's keeper into the future.
I see my brother's keeper continuing its growth. It has to. Our Lord will continue what he has done in the past. He'll continue to do in the future with my brother's keeper.
I think it's important that we express our gratitude to virtually the thousands of people that have been involved in making my brother's keeper what it is today. On behalf of God, Terry and I express our deepest gratitude.
Hello, wasn't that great? This is such awesome work that the Lord is doing in this day and age with my brother's keeper. All my kids are grown, but years ago when I was a single parent, it seemed like for centuries, I had been helped by my brother's keeper several times. They at one point provided food, and they did minister to me, and I was open to this ministry because I was also walking a personal walk with the Lord back then, not as perfectly, but we had to start somewhere. So this is for those newcomers who are listening to this broadcast at this time. And another time that they came when we needed furniture, and then gifts. So they never asked any questions. They just wanted to just meet our needs, like they said, and bring us Jesus, which we received. Okay, so
I just want to, I really feel before I go into this broadcast, just because of the prophetic milestones, the prophetic nuggets of the Lord has downloaded to us for such a time as this, to all you all, which includes everyone, right? It's so rich. My husband and I were reading we're reading all the prophetic words that the Lord had started put into our spirit from Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot to prepare us to what he's wanting to give us. He actually gave us a visitation, and my husband, open-eye visitation of Hebrew inscriptions in the sky, which pointed to there were symbols, prophetic Hebraic symbols written in Ivrit, and when you put them all together, they were a prophetic word for what he was going to do in the body of Christ and in the world, that will have an impact on the world, I should say, in 2012. Okay, and then he moved heaven and earth to also download to my spirit, and I have been posting it on the wall from time to time. In the whole month of January, I was believing God for just one prophetic word for the New Year's Eve or for New Year's Day for the rest of the New Year's, but he just kept downloading. He kept getting a hold of me, and I didn't want to let him go. So, because of the nature of this being set free and being deposited deeply within your spirit, I felt the need that the Lord wanted me to tie and bind some things in the spiritual for your protection, for my protection, for the protection of all who listen to this broadcast, okay? Because we are not warring against flesh and blood, but we are warring against principalities in the heavenlies, and that's the second heavens, all right? And if you want to know more about that, read Ephesians 6 in the New Testament. Okay, in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of his blood, cross and blood, we bind the spirits, powers, and forces of the earth, the underground, the air, the water, the fire, the netherworld, and the satanic forces of nature, and all satanic forces of nature. We rebuke any spells, hexes, curses, or evil spirits sent against us, and send them directly to Jesus Christ for him to deal with as he will. Lord, we ask you to bless our enemies by sending your Holy Spirit to lead them, to convict them, and to lead them to repentance, because the Father wants that and wills that above all. We tie and bind all interplay, interaction, and communication of evil spirits. We claim the protection of the shed blood of Jesus Christ over ourselves, our families, our ministries, our jobs, okay? All the people that you chose before the foundations of the earth, the laborers chose to give to us as a harvest field. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Every circumstance and situation that you have ordered for us to get us back on the right track, or to mold us, or and to even if there, it was used like friction, okay? Well, into every season, and there is a purpose, the Lord is saying. To everything you go to, there is a purpose. So every purpose under heaven, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We claim the protection, the shed blood of Jesus over that. We also claim protection, the shed blood of Jesus over Israel, over the finances, over creative ideas, over just our obedience, which is a gift, over faith, over all those giftings that are embedded deep within our spirit because we have Jesus in us. We thank you, Lord, for your protection, Lord Jesus. Amen. And there are at least two lies that the Lord wants to extinguish right now and destroy that somehow give credence to the work of the enemy. He wants to go and deliver you of the lies that say that you're unworthy, all right, to receive his promises and blessings. So it's unworthiness, it's the spirit of unworthiness, which brings on the heaviness, okay? And also oftentimes causes you to fall asleep. You don't realize it. Some think it's depression, but it's really, it's a spirit of unworthiness, okay? All right? And unbelief that he can ever use you, or unbelief that the Holy Spirit's even in your life. Okay, and that brings on doubt, fear, worry, and anxiety. So we tie all, invite all of those evil spirits and their cohorts over you and away from you. We break that power right now in authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The authority he gives to us because we are baptized. We were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, and we thank you, Father, that no weapon fashioned or formed against your people in the mighty name of Jesus will prosper. We thank you, Lord. We want to take authority right now over the tactics of the enemy, over the country of Iran, Lord. We ask right now, Lord, that you would just go before mankind right now to destroy what you already did 2,000 years ago. But in this present moment and in this present situation, in the eternal now, that you would bring to naught all the plans that the enemy has through the country and the nation of Iran to destroy Israel and the rest of the world with nuclear arms. We thank you, Jesus. We ask right now that you would just break that power right now over that region. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we declare that the kingdom of this world will become and shall become the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of Iran shall become the kingdom of God. All right, that the kingdom of Israel shall become the kingdom of God, and all the other countries that are right now weighing in the balance, in Jesus' holy name, weighing in the balance about where they're going to go, by the way of the world or by the way of the kingdom. And we want to pray right now this prayer. And that means for all of your family members, all those who have family. Okay, there's things in your family right now that are acting up. Many frustrated people out there, but the Lord has a remedy for you all. The Lord has a remedy for every single one of you. Now, we're going to pray now, Father, to cover us, okay? We also do, you know, we said in the prayer, we plead about Jesus, but every step of the way we've got to. This is such a significant and a life-changing message. Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from every evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and we will be recreated, and you shall renew the face of this earth. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the gift of the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and to forever rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. And the people said, Amen. Today, okay, the rest of this broadcast, we're going to talk about three things. like I said earlier, we're going to talk about, we're going to share with you in great detail the prophetic word that the Lord has for 2012, and it's not done. It's an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing tapestry. All right, and you know, you may be among others that the Lord is going to use them to activate the prophetic in you, because the Lord's moving very powerful on these people in 2012, and it should be called the year of the prophetic, but it is truly, there is truly going to be establishment within the people of God, a very, very strong prophetic flow. And you just have to get in a position and cross over that threshold. We are going to be doing a series of Lenten specials. Last year we did a 5-part series on the welcoming of the prodigals, the return of the prodigals. And I thought it was just going to be one show, ended up being 5. Well, this year, the Lord was saying, for after this show and subsequent other shows, well, we're going to focus in on crossing over that threshold, and what it is, and we hope to do one particular, one thing only, by the help, by the grace of God, to help make it, to help, to give you teachings that will help you and tools that will help you cross over that threshold, okay? Because many of you just love to be in that familiar place, a place that you've just gotten used to. And what happens is that frustration sets in, okay? Frustration, boredom, you no longer approach the Lord the same that you did before. And you start to dry up. The well spring of life, the waters, the living waters, start drying up. But it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's left you. It just means that you've got to cry out for more. You've got to ask the Lord to release more, a greater flow of the river in your life, okay? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the river. He is the steward of the river of God, all right? So, just consider this during the teaching times. Consider this place in the Holy Ghost, in the river of God, and what He wants to do. So, Lord, I just ask right now that You would just release the river. Just lay hands on your stomach and just ask the Holy Spirit to come speak in tongues. Have it release that river of living waters from your belly. Let it flow forth from your belly. Shikadama, shikadama, surya. O karamashar karamoshi, I karamashanda kundiya mashanda, O kalamasuti mashanda. Oh, let the river flow, let the river flow in glory, Lord. Let the river flow forth and usher forth from the bellies of your people. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Shikatamashida mashanda. Let the river flow to India. Oh, Shikarama, all parts of India. Oh, Gaya, Goa, all parts of India. Shikarama, Shuda, Mashita, Mashanda. And let the river flow to Israel and Iran, all in Syria. Shikarama, Shikarama, Shu. Uriyama, Shikarama, Suriyama, Ikarama, Sonda. And let the river flow, especially to the United States, to every home. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, and all those hot spots throughout the world, Lord, that need this life-giving river to flow. We thank you, Jesus. We release it right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. All for the glory of God. All for His glory, Lord. And we're not of this world, but we are in it. And because we are in it, and we are soldiers, we are called to be soldiers. The Lord wants to release warriors at this time. But what happens to a warrior as when they get up first thing in the morning? They need to put on their equipment, their armor. Okay, so we right now we want to pray for the mind of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ, okay? We put on the helmet of salvation, which is the mind of Christ, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield that protects us, the staff that guides us, the belt of truth, and the shoes of peace, and the glory of God as our rear guard. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We give you this veil because it's yours, Lord. And you just ask us to become dressed, in the armor, so we can be protected as you go forward and you fight the battle on behalf of your people, on behalf of us. We thank you, Lord. It's such a privilege to be counted among your people as friends of you and as servants of the Most High God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. May it be so in this hour. May it be so. Hallelujah. Okay. The second thing that we're going to talk about, as mentioned earlier at the top of the hour, is a dream. The Lord gave me a prophetic dream. And it kind of stems off of the prophetic words for the month of January, within a 30-day time period. And it's ongoing. My husband and I are going to share with you two shows, along with our experience at the Calvary Pentecostal Campground, but two shows, two movies that we saw. We saw one in DVD. It was in the movies. It was with the late George Reeves, I think it was. He played Superman, but it wasn't Superman. It's called Somewhere in Time. Very interesting. And then the second one was The Vow. And the reason why we're going to look at these two movies is that there's some elements in that of teaching that the Lord wants to put his finger on so that we can walk in greater trust in our relationship with him through the Holy Spirit. And but when we don't trust, funny things can happen. The distractions that somehow don't seem like distractions at the very beginning can get us way off course to the point that we can even lose our life. Because the enemy wants to snuff as many of God's people out of this life before their time, so they do not see the coming of the Son of Man coming on the clouds. I just want to speak about, let's go in order. Speak about the prophetic word that was posted on my wall, and we have on the notes. I'm talking about the wall of Facebook. It started from January 1st, and it went all the way to January 31st, but not every day, only, as the Holy Spirit gave utterance, was I to write them down. And a funny thing about this, funny thing in a good way, in a God kind of way, is that he had used Rosh Hashanah in our Janarian calendar, which was 2011. The year started with 5, but in 2011 it was September 2011 and into October, it carried over to October 10th, specifically October 10th. An early morning, Monday morning hour, as I was returning home from my morning route, my bus route, I was looking at the sky after some significant time of prayer. At this time, it was the Feast of Sukkot. And our Lord wrote this Hebrew inscription in the sky over the church where we live. And we park facing the chapel. There's the church, and then there's the chapel, the prayer chapel. the symbols translated into these consonants, all right, the Hebrew consonants. Sade, which is spelled T-S-A-D-E, all right, but it wasn't spelled like that in the sky. It was the Hebrew, the symbol. Kaf, K-A-F, Yod, Y-O-D, Ayin, A-Y-I-N, Ketav, K-T-A-V, Hebrew, I-V-R-I, Sade, T-S-A-D-E, Lamed, L-A-M-E-D, Shin, S-H-I-N, and Kof, Q-O-F, okay? As soon as I received them, what I had done was I went to the internet to look them up. I also have somewhere in my office, I have the Hebrew consonants and what they mean and how you can write them. And so I used that as a guide to determine what they were. And also, just in case I got it wrong, I also went on Facebook and shared what I received with my friend. And one young lady, she's a prayer warrior, her name is Kathleen Senti. She moved in courage and courageous faith to let me know what she believes this means. An ironic thing is that she said in her Jehovah Witness days they studied Hebrew a whole lot. So some things are not always bad. I mean, there are some good elements. You just take what you need and leave the rest, and then the Lord will bring you into the full truth of who you are, who Jesus is in you through the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He'll move you away from what is false and bring you to what is true and absolute. And that's what he did with Kathy. But she held on to the Hebrew that she had learned through scripture reading. And what came to her mind was, okay, the symbol for Sadi means the righteous one, okay. Kaf, K-A-F, means to wrap around the palm. Very significant. Yod, Y-O-D, represents God, omnipresence. Ayin means I, Katav, Ivri, together, represents materials for parchment. You know, and that's what they had used to write the written word on in 350 A.D. Okay. Lamed means to learn or to teach. Kof, Q-O-F, represents 100 or 100-fold. And also, she said, you know, on the flip side, because there's always, in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Hebrew language and consonant, there's always two to three meanings. Just like in the Webster Dictionary, to one word, there's always at least three meanings to one word. Okay? If not four. So she thought that she wasn't any help, but I thought, I said, you definitely were of help. And so I just took those meanings and what the symbol meant, and I just wrote them down like the Holy Spirit said.
And the time is 1 o'clock a.m.
And I just put them away for until January. But I didn't know it was until January until the Lord said, "This is what this means," because He was working on me. He was working on my heart. He was working on the. How many of you know that waiting on the Lord is also a ministry? Okay, it's a kind of prayer ministry. So He was growing that within me, within my inner man, within my spirit, on how to wait on Him, and be able to still get things done in the natural. Okay, all right. So I'm gonna say, the interpretation to this, I was gonna save it to last, but I want to open it up with this that I received the last day of January 2012. Okay, and you understand this whole thing when we go to January 1st, and see the progression of how the prophetic word was given over a period of time in the month of January, the first year of the month of 2012. Okay. On the Janarian calendar, we have to be specific. All right. You are my righteous one, my beloved bride. And he's not just talking to me. He's talking to the church. My eyes are upon you, my beloved, for I hold you close to my heart and imprint your name within the deep recesses of my heart, my sacred heart. I hold you and I wrap you around the palm of my hand. And his hand is big. You will teach my ways to a vast, this is an anointed on vast, a vast array of people, my beloved bride. I will be with you in everything you do, and I give you my words, for they will be like a two-edged sword in the coming days. And they will extinguish the lie of the enemy of your souls 100-fold. The Lord says he will restore it. And this is a way of, this is another kind of restoration when he deals with the enemy of your soul. And he gives back to you 100-fold what the enemy has stolen from you. So I think that's a pretty good deal in the Holy Ghost. Don't you? Okay. All right, so let's go. We're going to go to January 1st now. That was a January 31st interpretation of a word that he had given me in October. All right. Okay. But I had to read that so you could see the progression of this. Okay. These are the prophetic words that the Lord had given me, and I wrote it on the wall in the form of a note. Thus far from the start of the new year, 2012, right at 12 a.m. Okay, he began with a declaration. Spirit of the Lord fall afresh on us. All right? Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God fall afresh on us. And I put Happy New Year. But I just got a sense that the Father poured that the desire for me to sing that, to pray that in the Holy Spirit, because you know that's how you begin to open up dialogue in the Holy Ghost, you know, as an intercessor, as a prayer warrior, as a prophetic prayer warrior. Okay, and then at 9:02 a.m. January 2nd, 2012 Eastern Standard Time, and I always timestamp everything because it's my witness to witnesses how the Holy Spirit steps into time, steps into the ordinary circumstances that you live in day in and day out, that I live in day in and day out. And it's a good faith builder because you just realize, wow, the Lord must really love me enough to, you know, come into this space that I've constantly been doing X, so and so, X, Y, Z in. But he met me right where I live. Amen. Okay, so 9:02, January 2nd, the Lord says, 2012 is going to be a very wonderful year, contrary to popular opinion, for the body of Christ. For many of you, the Lord is going to change your vocabulary. He's going to change your vocabulary, and then he is going to change your mind to his mind. He's going to change your vocabulary, and then he's going to change your mind to his mind, to conform to his mind, to his mind. Many of you, your mind's going to be taken totally out of you, and you're going to have his mind. And you will see like he sees, and it will be wonderful. So watch out for the wonderfuls of God coming your way. For the God that we serve is truly full of majestic signs and wonders, and you'll see that. You'll see more of this in 2012. At 11:52 a.m., the Lord continued to break into the time, Eastern Standard Time again. In 2012, the issue is not to wait to see what 2012 will bring, but to know in advance. Don't be passive about the future. Be proactive. Seize the moment in the spirit and make it yours for the future. For what you do today, what you do in the now, determines your future. For the future is what you truly speak into at the same time. You speak words of life in your present moment. You will beget life, and if you speak words of life regarding your future, you will beget life for the future. Your words, you speak words of darkness, you will beget darkness. So if you speak words of darkness in your present moment, you can beget darkness in the future. All right. In other words, don't let the future don't be careless about speaking out in your future. Okay, regarding your behalf, okay, on your behalf. And I had to rephrase that because it didn't make sense. What is required of you is to speak into your future now on behalf of your future. Okay? And teach others to do the same thing. There'll be less and less people going to the psychics and everything. This can only be done in the Holy Ghost and when you are walking with the Lord in the total freedom of Jesus Christ, okay? So you have to receive Jesus or ask Him to release this, a greater trust, to trust in Him for everything. The Lord wants us in 2012 to walk in this total freedom of who He is and what He has for us. Okay, at 5:55 p.m. on January 2nd, still the same day, January 2nd, at 2012, the Lord says, all your illnesses, past and present, griefs, and all manners of darkness, personal and spiritual, was all nailed to the cross. And it should be well with your souls, because Jesus took it all, and it is behind the nails and on the bloodstained wood. And all you need to do is walk through the door of the power of His resurrection glory now. So that's part of crossing over. Okay? That's all you need to do. Okay. At 9:30 a.m. January 7th, 2012, Eastern Standard Time, the Lord says, I am with my people. It's funny how He has to remind us, right? I am with my people. Now, this is what the Lord has observed in His people. Some of my people have been feeling disconnected. He can feel your feelings. Have been feeling disconnected from their lives on the outside looking in for two reasons. And therefore, they've been feeling disconnected from the Father Himself. The first has to do with prayerlessness. They have abandoned prayer. They don't even think about it because they're so frustrated. They have set no boundaries in the supernatural realm through personal prayer and declaration. And as a result, there's learned hopelessness. Okay? That precedes prayerlessness. And also afterwards, that's the fruit of prayerlessness. It's hopelessness. In 2012, I want to close that gap by my Holy Spirit working on your behalf through releasing my Holy Spirit inspiration and my Holy Spirit revelation through dreams and visions. He's going to increase in them. He's going to increase them within you. Bring everything to me, my beloved, your wants, your needs, your disappointments, your unforgiveness issues, and I will help you, saith the Lord. I will give you the willingness and the want to. The willingness and the want to advance in my kingdom for the sake of my glory and the release of the kingdom in your lives and the lives of others that you will touch. And for many of you, you've thrown in the towel, so to speak. You've given up, right? And the Lord's saying, He's going to take that towel that you threw into the fire. He's going to take it out. And He's going to do a new thing. Okay, because He wants to release the kingdom through you. I will cause a Holy Spirit eruption of my power and my glory. Study in the natural. Study my natural volcanoes and how they behave. And this will give you an understanding through observation as to how my situations, as to how my Holy Spirit will operate in the affairs and situations of mankind, in the affairs and situations of my children's lives. For the things that concern you, my people, okay, concern me. So the things that concern Jesus, concern you, concern the Lord. And I am just a prayer away, and it will happen in the form of my thoughts imposed upon and through your thoughts. I will intercept the thoughts of mankind and the enemy, and will impose my thoughts to transform your mind, your life, and your heart, to transform human existence and to conform it to my heavenly mandates in this time and in this day and age, for such a time as this. For there is gross darkness, and if he didn't do what he did for you, he says at Calvary 2,000 years ago, you would be totally, totally sucked into this darkness and totally destroyed. And know this, I have you in the palm of my hand, says the Lord. Remember that prophecy. Remember that prophecy from October about the palm of his hands. He's wrapped you around. He not only has you in the palm of his hand, he's wrapped you around the palm of his hands. You know, and his hand is so heavy. His hand is so big. It's full of light. I urge every one of you to, go to my wall, my personal page. It's on all the other pages, but, specifically my personal page under photos, under signs and wonders. Click on Joshua and the Divine Hand. That's my son, Joshua, who right now, the Lord promised me he's not going to be forever. Right now, he's afflicted with some symptoms of autism. And they're severe at times, but the Lord's saying he's delivering him because his hand is on him. The hand came out in the picture. I want you to see the hand of God taking off this dark ring. And Joshua right now is nonverbal, but God is speaking to him. And he's taking off this what appears to look like a bicycle tire. It's translucent. It means that you can see through it. It's black light. All right, he's taking it off. He's in the process of taking it off. And we're able to capture that reality in that moment. And he's slipping on a ring of light around his neck. And I believe it's what he's doing is he's taking the noose from his neck that the enemy tried to put on it to stop him from talking about the kingdom. And he's releasing the kingdom words in my son's voice. And it's in his spirit. And it's about it. And there will be a point in time for when he will speak. I believe that. Okay. So he says, and know this, I have you in the palm of my hand, and hold on to my right hand. For there is power, and there is life, and there's deliverance, there's freedom, and there's liberty. And I will never let you go. Okay? And then he says, Happy New Year, my beloved bride. Love Jesus Christ, your bridegroom king. Okay. Monday, January 23rd, 2012. Just when you thought it was over, it was not over. And the Lord said it was very, very clear. Very clear. Because of the increase in prophetic activity in the people of God in 2012, in the body of Christ, people that you would not even think, could even ever prophesy, they're going to prophesy, and it's going to be huge. So whatever the Lord tells you, you must write it down. Write it down. Because when you write it down, you're activating the word. You are activating it. Okay? It just doesn't stay in your head. As you're writing it down, the electrons from your brain goes out through your fingers, and you are framing it, okay? So write it down. It releases something and sets things in motion. Some of you feel like painting it. Paint it. It does the same thing. when you write it down or when you paint it. So the word is plain, simple, and clear from the heart of the Lord to write what you see and write what you hear down. I feel that this is very important in a direct word of action from the Lord for some of you who visit this wall from time to time. So that's what I put on my wall. Okay, I'm just reading my... Some of them were given to me in a form of status updates, and some of them were given to me in the form of dreams and visions and writing notes, or writing a note on the wall. All right, January 29th, 2012. Now, I hope some of you are getting excited. Let me know, when I post this on Facebook, let me know under the broadcast comment section on Facebook what you thought about this broadcast and the prophetic words. I know in one of my series, The Activity of Heaven, and The Activity of Heaven and the Prophetic, about 1,000 people listen to that show. And usually on the average, 200 people listen for any shows that I do. But they were so hungry for the prophetic, over almost 1,000 people, and there's probably 1,000 right now. I haven't gone back to look at the stats yet, but I just look to see what topic of interest people hone in on and receive. Okay, so January 29th, all right, 2012, the tools of the Lord. Upon awakening this morning, the Lord showed me various people groups. They were the reached and the unreached. Okay? The reached and the unreached. And there were many storms brewing and the horizon. Many people were worried and fearing the worst of the worst. Many were losing hope. There were many preachers and teachers of the faith looking only to the conditions, the intensity of these storms, and not looking at the Lord on behalf of the people for the remedy to these storms. Some of them were just looking at the physical remedies, what you need to do, if you have a flood or whatever, but they weren't looking at the spiritual remedy. Okay. As all this was being shown to me, I asked the Lord these three questions. You can, you'll be surprised what he gives you. Why did you bring we, your people, to this point in humanity, especially here in the United States? What have you called us to do in this hour? Do we have the power and the authority as a people to mitigate the intensity of these storms? Some say yes and some say no, Lord. The answer was unsuspected. The Lord told me to tell his people this, that he hasn't brought us to this hour in salvation history to destroy us. Okay? He has not brought us to this point in salvation history, things that he has already dreamt about and established before the foundations of the earth were laid. That he has called us to this hour, all right, to destroy the works of the enemy around us in the power, in his power, and in his glory, and in complete authority of his name. He has and will continue to give us tools, if we ask, to win and secure the victory. For the battle is his. We just need to secure the victory. The victory is in his blood, okay? All he is calling us to do is to secure the victory through various tools, all right? I'm going to name these tools. All right. Some of them are going to sound like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because that's what they are. The tools of faith, okay? The tools of living in his righteousness through prayer and repentance. The prayer of salvation. The tool of walking in total forgiveness. Tools of healing. Laying hands on the sick so that the sick will recover. The tools of prophetic prayer and intercession. Speaking life into your situation and your future in the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. in the proclamation of his word. The two are called forth the glory of the Lord within our lives to mankind, to shine before all and to fulfill our destinies both individually and corporately as a body. Furthermore, the Lord says that if we ignore these tools that he has won for us, which includes the ways of expressing the kingdom of his love in its fullness as a church here on this earth, and as we are called to function in during these storms, then these storms, especially during these storms, then these storms will come and the intensity of the darkness will become more intense and there will be more suffering. In this day and age, we are called to be a faithful witness of Jesus Christ and to use our tools with the purpose to build the kingdom of God upon the earth in power and in great glory and in the authority of his name, Jesus Christ, the name which is above every name, in the power and through the power and in the person of the Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen. And then the Lord mentioned something about occupying a territory, which is not the same as occupy Boston or occupy whatever and whoever. Okay. This is given on the same day. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying regarding occupation to forget about Mammon, the god of this world, and stop fighting for goods and services. He's speaking to the occupied movement. And stop fighting for goods and services in this world system. For all is worthless in my sight that does not bring me glory. Occupy heaven for the things of the kingdom to come upon the earth on your knees and on your faces. I am with you always. I will release the true riches, the true wealth from heaven in the form of creative ideas that lead to witty inventions and cures for diseases known and unknown. Ideas and inventions, that will improve the quality of mankind. And this will not be exploited by the world system. And this is all to preserve and restore the earth so that the kingdom of God can come power and glory. It's part of the restoration of all things. Ideas and inventions that will improve the quality of mankind, and this will not be exploited by the world system. I have put a generous spirit within the hearts of this new, up and coming in advancing generation. Talking between 13 and even from 1, but from, you know, there's something that's been deposited in the 13-year-olds and the 19-year-olds and also in the 30-year-olds, the 30-somethings. I have put a generous spirit within the hearts of this new and advancing generation, for I have created within them the ability and the desire to form intricate networks that will multiply my provisions that are coming down from heaven to various people groups within the four corners of the earth, those in need. For my work is a work of healing, rejuvenation, sharing and caring, and restoration of all things. For this is one of the tools of my kingdom, advancement in the days that lie ahead. And this is what he's doing through social media network, and nobody can figure it out because it's been birthed. It's one of the things that have been birthed into this generation. So stay close to me, for I am moving through my body in power and glory in the coming days. So pray, watch, and wait, and advance within the wind of my spirit in the coming days, says the Lord. So pray, watch, and wait, and advance within the wind of my spirit in the coming days, says the Lord. Amen. Well, I am going to put a song on. It's part of Psalm 23 and also asking the kingdom to come. Okay? And I want to ask the kingdom to come right now in power and glory and to move powerfully among the people of God through this song by Dr. James Gall and friends.
I will not fear, for he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Okay, everyone, we are back, and my husband just walked into the studio because he's my guest. He's Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, and we are at the second half, the bottom half of the hour, okay? And again, this is Dr. Shirley Caniff, and hasn't this particular broadcast been very prophetic and encouraging and everything? God has some wonderful things in store for his people as the world gets shaken, you know. Anyways, I have my husband here, and we had talked about at the top of the hour that we saw these two movies, these awesome movies. February was a significant month, and as we're doing this right now, it's March 1st, but we had started this the last three, you know, it's been a couple of days. We've been working on different parts of the show because lots of things happen in our life, and we have to address those issues. So we put the show down a little bit and then come back to it, and then all these other things begin to happen.
It was nice to be away.
Yeah, it was. We actually went to Calvary Pentecostal Campground, like I said before, and Bobby Hogan, who has a very strong, powerful, and humorous apostolic anointed. He, you know, everything that he talked about the future glory and stepping into the future, the Lord had already been ministering to us about it. So it was really nice when he said, go to the campground, you know, and get under the teaching and under the anointing of this wonderful man of God, because there's some things that, you know, he's going to show us, and some things that, you know, through the ministry of Bobby Hogan, but at the same time, there's some things he's going to impart into our lives in a greater way. And when you know it, that when did we arrive there? We arrived there Thursday night.
Thursday night was the quickest trip I've ever been on.
Yeah, last Thursday night.
The last one was real long, and we were going to the Southwest.
Yeah, and we were in a plane, but it was hot, and it was just another time of the year. But anyways, we soon as we got there, they had come to get us at the airport, and then you know, they, instead of checking us into our rooms right away, we had to wait to come back after the service. And so there was about a half an hour to 45 minutes left of the service. So as we get in, mind you, about this was the whole theme was crossing over and stepping into the future. I open the door. This is God's most perfect time, and he says, I hear out of Bobby Hogan's mouth. He was at this point in the ministry time where he was just going to. He was asking and challenging everyone to do something, to step in to the future, to cross over the threshold, to cross over.
The moment you opened the door.
He says, now, you've just, you know, cross over to the future. I'm just walking right over the threshold. It was the funniest thing. I just out laughed. I just said, so I guess we're supposed to be here. So, anyways, so it was awesome. But we'll be airing some of his, a lot of the campground, this, especially this last part, because this is the only part we attended. The winter camp meeting. They gave us permission to upload to YouTube, and so we will do that. And you're going to get really wonderful teachings and impartations, and God's going to bless you very powerfully. Amen. It's in line with what we just shared about earlier. So anyways, part of the show, we're going to talk about here on Faith Talks Like Prayer, the two movies that we think, you know, lines up with everything the Lord is saying, but you know, the Lord kind of like uses these movies to train us, to teach us what he's doing in the body of Christ at this time. And this particular movie was Somewhere in Time, was it? And the Lord comes somewhere into our time, and it, because he created time, you know, he's in the past, present, and future. And he knows exactly where we live and where he's going to place us, and we're just going through the motions, right? And if, you know, if we just surrender and trust in the Lord and lean on our own understanding, it will go well with you. But in somewhere in time, and I have got the name wrong earlier. I told you that my husband would correct me, and he did. The name of the main character was actually the modern-day Superman before God had called him home. It was Christopher Reeve. George Reeves was the first Superman.
Pre-paralysis.
Christopher Reeves, pre-paralysis. But he was in this particular movie, not as Superman, but as someone who was a playwright. And Jeff, I want Jeff to come in on this. and explain, you know, and share his thoughts about this movie, but describe the movie. And then we're going to also look at the movie The Vow, because it was like the Lord just used these two to compare each other, to compare each movie to itself. And he gave us a wonderful teaching about, you know, how we have to keep focused and not look into the past, you know. And but at times he can use our past, as in the second movie, The Vow, to teach us things. But we have to move on. We can't get stuck. But if we don't learn our lesson, then we will continually be stuck. So Jeff, let's talk about the first movie. Somewhere
I really
in time.
Love the opening scene, and you really don't know much detail at this point in the movie, but you see this older woman. She's in her room.
She's about 90 years old.
She's about 90 years old.
Yeah.
And she has this playbill in her hand,
mm-hmm.
and she's looking at it, and it shows you the name
mm-hmm.
Richard Collier.
Yeah.
And she gets up, and she knows that he was a student, and she finds him, and she takes this watch and gives it to him.
Now, where does she find him? What was going on around him in his life in the present moment?
In that moment,
in
it
time.
Was a graduation party.
Yeah, it was
he
in
was
the
70s. Graduating, and it was in the 70s, I think.
72 or something like that.
Yeah, and then she returns home
mm-hmm.
and passes away.
But
7 years later.
But what they were celebrating was his graduation and the play that he was writing, that he either acted in and or also wrote, right? That was very important. He had this talent that was developing, and it was his destiny to be a playwright, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about destiny. Okay, and what was intriguing to me, and what was intriguing to you about the fact that she came, she planted the watch?
Oh, she was very precise in what she said.
Yeah.
Return to me in time.
In time. Yeah. And that...
Come back to me in time.
Yeah, come back to me in time. And then she had left the scene, and what happened? She died, right?
She died.
Yeah. And then it was 8 years later.
Seven
years later,
had become successful as a writer.
Yeah.
And he was...
He had his own office, his own business.
Yep. And he had this mystery in his hand, the watch, that this lady had given him 7 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And he's starting to meditate on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to find this lady who owns this watch. And somehow he connects it to this hotel where she had been living at the time.
Now, this particular time, he had been, you know, racking his brain about what he was going to write, and he, you know, some of you, and I go through it myself, when I am inspired to do a video on something that the Lord is downloading from heaven, or some inspiration that I get from a dream vision, also from the Lord, I somehow, we get writer's block, especially if you have to write, and so something happens in your life that almost like kind of, I don't want to say paralyzed, because that sounds so finite, but it kind of stifles it, and so you're slowing down. But I've learned, come to know, that when it happens, the Lord, he still wants to download something to me. So, you know, I have to just learn to wait, and many of you have to do that same thing too. But in this particular movie, the character that Christopher Reeves was playing, the writer, the author,
Richard Collier.
Richard Collier, yes.
The first time that he realized he might have been in the past was when he was looking over the ledgers of the hotel.
Oh, yeah, but I want to get to the point before he gets to the hotel. So he puts this song on that was like haunting, and it was one of the songs that was also a favorite song of this particular lady that plays this watch in his hand. Now, mind you, he was a very young person. He's probably, what, in his 30s? Or at that
mid-20s
at the time that they connected.
That
she
gave him the watch.
And so then 8 years after that, it was like maybe in his 30s or something like that.
Early
30s. Yeah, early 30s. So he had been into his career and was still intrigued by that connection in time, you know, in the present moment.
Then he sought out somebody who
so he gets
had
little,
some
yeah.
kind of weird experience of time that he wrote about, but he never really, he never had full recognition of having been there.
Well, there was a particular song that led him to this, you know, just drive and go for a long drive. He didn't know where he was going.
He finally arrived at the hotel.
Yeah.
He found the museum and he found a picture of this lady in her younger days.
And the bellhop at this hotel, he was in his 70s, I think it was.
Yeah.
He was, and he kept saying, "Didn't I see? I met you somewhere before. I met you somewhere in time." And that was the theme of the movie. Somewhere in time, I know I met you somewhere before. You look awfully familiar, and that also began to work in the heart and mind of Richard Collier, and then he had gone to
the
museum, and then was intrigued by this person's face on the wall, who the sun had just shown in the room right on the picture. Of this lady, and it was the younger version of this lady that had came to give him the watch, but at the time he didn't know that was going on. And he was very intrigued by her, and he began to ask the bellhop the history of all of the things that were in that museum and about this lady. And this lady was an actress in her day, a famous actress. And so he went down to the library to learn more about her, and he opens his book. Right? And what did he find, Jeff?
He found...
The face?
The face of the lady.
Yeah, the lady who...
At her present age.
At her age, you know, of 92 before she passed away. And so it was amazing how, you know, the connection was made in the present moment. And so, you know...
Well, her room has the kind of like a historical site for the actress.
For the actresses,
and then
museum,
and she was the well-known historical person for a great period of, time.
Yeah.
She was a great actor, but...
She made a lot of inroads for women her age.
She knew
in the acting industry
that this young Richard Collier was the same man who wrote... the playbill she was holding in her hand. And then he finds one of the guest registers from the early time period, but this lady would have been in her about 20s or 30s too, and he sees his own signature.
Yeah. And the thing is, the way that he got a chance to do this, and we don't recommend this, it kind of got a little bit into the occult part, but the Lord wanted us to show us about the dangers of going back way back into the past and even manipulating time to do that, and getting locked and going insane, and things like that. So he finally goes back to one of his professors from a philosophy class that he had about time travel, because what was haunting him in his mind was the last words of this lady on her last night on earth, you know, come back to me in time, you know, and
she hands him the token that will help him.
Yeah, and so you know, he researches everything about the time period in which she came out of, and then you know, him being in the 70s, we wanted to find out what clothes they were wearing. He really got obsession had set in, and so this particular professor was saying that even though it's been attempted by him himself, he warned him. He said, "I wouldn't want to do this again, because it had consequences.
Negative.
Yeah.
Probably to his mental health. Probably to his stability.
Yeah.
In the present moment.
Exactly. You know, all the things that one shouldn't do, and it even says in Scripture that we should not look back at the past, because like Lot's wife, when she looked at the Sodom and Gomorrah as the angels were destroying it, she looked back when she wasn't supposed to, and all the memory and everything about that place in one instant caused her to look back, and as she looked with her eyes at the destruction and everything, she must have been so shocked. She, turned into a pillar of salt.
And it's kind of similar how Richard Collier is falling in love again with this lady.
In time, he went back.
He successfully traveled backwards.
But he had to manipulate. He hypnotized himself. He did everything. He did everything that he could possibly do in his own power to go back to a love, because he was searching for a love that he really wanted, and he manipulated time to do that.
And somehow, without even trying, he already did. But the thing is, there was a trauma of coming back to the present moment, which probably blocked the remembrance of the first time of doing that traveling backwards.
Yeah.
And manipulating time history.
Yeah.
And it had a consequence, because something pulled him back into the future, and it was a trauma, so he blocked it out.
A familiarity. Now, so they were going along when he finally caught up with her. He knew all about her, and she almost was expecting him. Like, there was something that she had tapped into on her realm, and she had people around her that were also
discerning,
and they knew what was going on and how people travel from time to time.
He will come again.
Yeah, and he kept
the word that one of her supporters,
who was like a watcher, and what happened was he was a watcher that was making sure that she lived out her destiny as the first woman actress, and one that would be an inspiration for Richard Collier. But Richard Collier had not been born yet, but in her mind, in her imagination, because she was looking for that lost love that she couldn't get in the present moment, she invented this person in her mind. And then when this person finally existed in the future, that manipulation came, she going to finally meet that person, catch up with that person, because she had a vision of the future. She tells him to come back in her time so they can get to know one another. Now, that was that part that I was like, I don't even know why I'm watching this, but God wanted to show me something and show my husband something so we can teach how, going back into the past, even to the point of time manipulation, which I know a lot don't do, but some try, you can really...
It's a very spiritually dangerous event.
Very, very spiritually dangerous event. But what happened was when this person didn't want to... When she met up with somebody in the future, in her mind, who came into her time, it stopped her from doing what she wanted to do. It paralyzed her.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't go through it. And she even was told by people that were around her before Richard went back in time to find out what happened in her life, what the event was that distracted her from her calling, her career calling as the first woman actress, that she had a breakdown, this lady did, and she just was not the same after a certain encounter with this Richard Collier who came into her present from the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, at one point, you know, when she runs back to him, and they're like finally, you know, declaring their love for one another, as he shares with her the play that he wrote somewhere back in time. What's that, the name of the play?
Something about time.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, the name of the play was the name of the movie, I guess, right? And so what happened was, they start to embrace, as lovers do, when they finally, when they finally meet, after exchanging glances. And so what happened was he looks at the watch, and then he looks at the
coins
in his pocket. He was trying to share with her.
The period, that there was also coin for the future.
Yeah, the clothes that he was wearing, he said, she said that, oh, you should really get another pair of clothes, and she goes, and he was like, well, what about my clothes that you don't like? Because he got that in the future to come into go into the past, and everything that he had brought into the present moment from the future, he had left a coin that said 1979 on there, and that was a trigger point for him to go back to that time around, because that's where he came from. And as he did that, he left her, and then the void between them just kept growing farther and farther and farther away, because he really was supposed to be present in the 1979 instead of the 1920s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
actually, it was 1905,
yeah.
Because he met what was the guy's name?
Oh yes, the bellhop that was in the future actually was the little boy that saw him when he came into the
he
went into the past. And he noticed this little boy, Arthur was his name, and so that was the boy that he recognized was the man that was the bellhop in the future, because what happened was his father had owned that hotel. Arthur's father had owned that hotel, and Arthur, when he was two, kept bouncing the ball, and so when he came, Christopher Reeves, who played Richard Corleone, came into the present moment. I mean, went into the past. He, the ball that he was playing with, he knew that was, he had to be that little boy, and he decided to give him the ball back when his father wasn't looking. It was a really humorous part of the scene. But anyways, he goes back. Richard Collier, Christopher Reeves, who plays Richard Collier, goes back after that. He was actually pushed. This force pushed him back into the future, where he's supposed to be. But because he was, kept away from the person whom he loved so much, and they couldn't break these time zones to be with one another.
It was the second time that it happened.
Oh, it was the second time?
Yeah, because how did
he know? Oh, yeah.
Having full remembrance of it happening.
Oh, yeah, so it was the second time, but of course they didn't tell about the second time.
That shows up in as other things show up.
Yeah, right.
It's like,
so he writes the play. Yeah, but maybe he didn't have a recollection. So anyways, he goes back to the room that she was in, that she had died in, and looks up out over the water, where they rowed their boat when he went to visit her in the past, and he's staring at the past and really reminiscing, and to the point where he totally got paralyzed and catatonic, and he didn't, wasn't eating, and he practically died, because of the trauma. And then he meets her in eternity.
The time is 10:00 p.m.
So he meets her in eternity, and they embrace, and that's the end of the show. But it was it was just so bizarre, the twists and the turns, and And it almost was like...
Intriguing.
Intriguing at the same time, but it was a warning about how one could get distracted, you know, if they look too much in the past. You know, he went insane. There was something that was insane about this. That if we look back into our past and we get say locked, we miss the future. We miss our present moment, and therefore we can miss the future, you know. And that's what the Lord wants to share with you, with many people, especially what he's doing now, where he wants the body of Christ. He's really spread... His message is really...
Step over the threshold.
He wants
into
to step
into
the spirit and let his spirit bring into the future. But don't manipulate it and do it in your own power. Have, you know, listen to what the Holy Spirit says. It brings you into all truth. He's the spirit of truth brought to, given to us as a gift from Jesus for the church, for the body.
And I remember having... experiences of prayer where I would be caught up in the presence of God and an hour would just go and then it come out of it.
Right.
And I was like, wow.
I remember having this experience in prayer. It was a split second. I was praying and the scriptures and I went into time back where Jesus was, but then he did it in a split second also recently, but it was, I went right, it wasn't a dream, and this other one was in a vision, this recent one was in a vision, but in the dream, he wanted to remind me what he told me before, but he brought me to where he was at Calvary, and I just stood there locked, looking at him, and the things were happening to me, but the second time around, which was pretty recent, the Lord said, "I love you, Shirley," and he called me by name. Yeah.
That was a powerful moment.
Yeah.
And I heard what changed my path in this life was that I encountered God as Father.
Yeah.
And it just blew apart all the joints that were disordered because of human sinfulness and human bad behavior.
Wow.
And they're just like, there is a God. And I was almost slipping into a secularness, and God kind of rescued me out of that.
Amen.
Right? Just simply telling me, I am your father, you are my son. Now, and I was watching another thing, I'm not going to mention the name of it, but it's something that Christopher Reeves did get involved in, and I learned that men need two fathers. They need a healthy human father, because then that will lead them to have a relationship with God the Father. If the ideal is to have a healthy relationship with your human father, because he plants the seed of relationship with God the Father. And it's just incredible how this other story, but I'm not going to bring it up by name. It's just incredible how I was watching the whole show for like 5 out of 10 seasons, and it was just so much a revelation that the original authors had, and that these current day people took it and brought it into the now experience. Like, yeah, we're all meant to be God-like in our character, and that's what the only thing that's going to survive death. If Jesus doesn't return before we pass, we're going to be with him when he returns. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 has to say about it. In this life, we don't have to fear death because Jesus has conquered it.
He has. He's one life, eternal life. Now, I want to go and now talk about the vow.
Okay.
Jeff, What was the vow about? You know, I know what it's about, but I want you to tell the listening audience what the vow is about.
Well, it was kind of like a fictional biography where this guy sets up the story of how he meets this woman who becomes his wife. He really doesn't know a lot about her past because she's kind of semi-amnesiac about it, and you don't learn that until other parts of the story. And And we happened to commit, we missed the details of that setup, but it was, we came right in on the movie where there was this catastrophic accident. A dump truck came and hit the car, and the wife went through, had a catastrophic, was thrown through the windshield, mm-hmm. and therefore she had a catastrophic brain injury.
Right. And so in this movie, from there, then there's a reenactment of the whole movie about how they met, or how they courtshipped, the kind of wedding that they had. She was an artist. She sat up in law school, but something happened in her life where she just totally walked away from that whole thing and pursued what she really wanted, because she had creative talent happening, and she was just pursued that. And God used her husband to support her in that. And then after the accident happened,
he realized that he had to start again, because
she had an amnesia.
The whole period of their life up to the point of the accident was mm-hmm. erased from her mind.
Mm-hmm.
The brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a scene with one of her doctors, and says, "What is it that you don't want to remember?"
Because everything else started to come back into her time mode, and but this particular understanding that she didn't recognize the man that she married, but everything in her past is coming forward because of something in the past that her brain, her in the memories that she had stuffed, wanted to heal, and so. When the psychiatrist recognized that, or the neurologist recognized that, she said that, you know, there's something that you need to face that you're not facing. I know you, and I've seen the breakthroughs you went through, but this is one particular thing, and so she had to leave. She left her husband to live with her mother.
I think he actually gave her a divorce because there was no memory of the being married.
Of the marriage,
He just wanted to give her the freedom to rework this somehow, some way.
And
it brought her family back into her life, which is what she was running.
All the relationships. She had to look
the
back at her past.
Her sister was the most
relatable
one to her, but she was still missed, and that didn't really show up until the sister was getting married, and then her former husband re-proposed to her.
So what happened, and that was at the end of the movie, but prior to then, there was something she was always holding back, but then the accident brought it forward, because in order for her to go forward in her life, she had to go backwards. But it was a brain injury that forced her to go back in time to deal with it, but in the present moment. Unlike this other movie, there was a manipulation of time zones and to the point where, that the moment was to be cherished, but it also just ended up destroying the life and destiny of both people. But in this other situation, what's the key difference, John?
The key difference is that there was a restoration, because she
went
back to the family point of origin where her initial trauma was. In this experience of memory loss, she said she could remember being a lawyer, she could remember all these other things, she could remember the things
when she was in law school.
She did law school and all the things she was doing before, but she couldn't, but from that moment of trauma to when she got married, she couldn't remember any of it. So the second trauma was the physical trauma, and that brought it, it was trying to connect her to the reality of why she had been away from her family for like 6 years.
Right. So finally, the truth comes out, and she remembers, and then she begins her new life. Back to being an artist, she resumed what she picked up.
She started processing.
Yeah,
and all over again.
All over again.
But then she discovered a major truth.
And then she discovered that there could be a new kind of relationship, and her husband, who divorced her, just so she can get her memory back, had also had been waiting for her, but accepted her situation as it presented itself, and they embarked on a new journey in the present moment. But he didn't place any expectations on her. He just continued to let the situation unfold and the restoration to happen in the present moment. So he, instead of staying stuck in the past of what he thinks the relationship should have been because of what they experienced, he let the situation unfold as the healing had been taking place.
And the final healing actually happened when she was working in a flower shop or something, gift shop, when this person from her past came up and told her something, apologized for something, that was a memory trigger, and she started remembering.
Well, she was the reason.
She was the subject of the reason.
Yeah,
she started
why she left the family.
Because her best friend
having an affair with the father.
And that opened the memories of why she left in the first place.
Exactly.
Even though she couldn't recall the time, it was the first time around she started remembering. And then it cuts to the university, law school, and she's not even taking notes. She's drawing in her notebook.
Yeah.
So it's like she's coming back to the reality that this was put upon me, and I'd rather be artistic.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy in my life is saying that I was an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm reconnecting to being an artist.
Yeah.
And so I'm ready. What she did, she was smart. She didn't move back into the same neighborhood.
Right. She moved to a different neighborhood.
She moved to a different neighborhood in the same area for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So she was refamiliarizing herself with the neighborhood, but not the same one she has no recollection of.
Exactly.
But then she comes back, shows up on the doorstep of his apartment. And
then they go take a little walk at the restaurant that they were both familiar at, and they agree to
start again,
but on a different...
Brand new.
And so that's what the Lord wants to do. Each and every time we get distracted, He wants to start with us brand new. You know, and each day is a new day, and it's a new beginning. But there's a new season coming up for the body of Christ that we just have to just step into, because everything is there for us to walk in to a greater way to be sensitive to the things of the Holy Ghost through the prophetic, and just the different provisions that we are going to need for what is coming,
the times to come. But we live in the moment.
We have to live in the moment.
And we need to live each moment so fully that we'll be satisfied as we reflect back on our life, as we draw closer to, you know, our physical death.
Yeah.
You know, unless the Lord intervenes, then...
Yeah.
But
many of us are going to be alive for when Jesus returns.
We're either going to return with Him, or we're going to be waiting for Him.
Yeah.
There's no loss. If the saints pass earlier, they are coming back. They are going to receive their physical bodies, but a better body than they left behind.
Amen. Well, we ran out of time, but as we talked about, you know, somewhere in time. But not really. We ran out of time for this particular segment, but we're still having to do what we need to do in the time that the Lord has given us.
Welcome to Jeff and Shirley at the movies.
And we love you guys. In the next, we are going to be talking more about this crossing over during Lent, and what God expects from time to time when. The Lord gives us a download from heaven through dreams and vision.
And inspiration.
We want to talk to you about it, and I just want to just let you know, as we're, you know, the last 3 days as we're getting this together, Davy Jones from the Monkees. I don't know, I'm kind of dating myself. For the Monkees, okay, had passed away. He died of a massive heart attack. And I just posted something. I just posted a note that I was inspired to write regarding this. And it wasn't so much, you know, he wasn't so much an idol to me, but there was something that was important.
He was a familiar person.
A familiar person.
There was something very human about this music group.
Yeah.
Very real, very honest. All these other imposters that came since, you know.
Yeah.
Touting a different line.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yes, it was saying there is room for hope,
mm-hmm.
where other musicians were dashing hope to bits.
Yeah, in our generation, you know, we're known as the love generation, where the love of God was trying to shine through, and many of the groups that originally caught it, they got into the drug scene, and we didn't get the full benefit of experiencing the Father's love and the release of the Father's love from heaven upon this generation. But there was something that the Monkees had deposited every Saturday morning when we watched them, you know, doing their little funny things. I guess some people are saying they were like an answer to the Beatles, you know, when the Beatles got off track and before they got back on track, but when they got off track. And they were a fabricated group, but it was for the kids. And, you know, they gave people hope. They were funny. They were colorful. And so I just wanted just to share with you in a couple of minutes that we have left, you know, the prophetic word that was sung over our generation that really left a mark in my heart. And as I listened to it, because I had a dream about this, and I'll talk to you in another segment. We're going to do another show about this dream, because it related to what about the, it was almost like God gave me this dream for other things too, and it's about, you know, staying on track. But that, what does it take to stay on track? Prophetic words. And there was something that the Monkees deposited in the hearts of people in our generation. And people talk about it from time to time, especially when I wrote this note on Facebook.
It was a very confusing period of time, too.
Yeah.
JFK was recently assassinated.
Yeah.
And all that conflict.
And Robert Kennedy. All these people.
And then Nixon getting...
Yeah. And then the drug scene started happening. So
president that wasn't elected.
Yeah. So anyways, I just want to read this and see if you relate to it, this. And then we'll pray, okay? And then I'm going to play a little part of the ending credits that it was very prophetic, and you'll know, understand what I'm talking about. It's about freedom. It was a message that was given to us, okay? For this generation. Within the past 24 hours again, I was coerced to look down memory lane one more time at one of my childhood memories of watching Saturday morning cartoons and childhood variety shows of yesteryear. Yep, they certainly don't make them like they used to, was a euphemism that kept echoing within the chambers of my mind and heart. Did I arouse your curiosity as to what I am getting ready to talk to you about? I hope I did, LOL. Well, by now, all y'all must be reminiscing at this point and remembering some of your own Saturday morning experiences, staring at and daydreaming about what was being watched by your innocent eyes on the boob tube, LOL. Yes, I said boob tube. Some of it was in color, and some of it, for some of you, was in black and white television.
Just a question. Why was it called the boob tube?
I have no idea.
Because it was also called the idiot box at the same time, which means it was not always intelligent.
Yeah.
But it was kid-like.
Yeah, exactly. Especially on Saturday morning.
Oh, Saturday morning was always great.
Yeah. So I remember watching something green on TV called The Green Hornet with Bruce Lee, who was the character Kato. Then there was Batman, and then there was Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. And then there was Green Acres, Dick Van Dyke, Leave It to Beaver, The Andy Griffith Show, The Jetsons, The Flintstones, I Love Lucy.
And yes. There was some more shows called Combat, Rat Patrol.
Oh, that's right.
Really appeared to the guys.
Yeah.
Sense of dignity that comes from discipline of military.
Hanna-Barbera, George of the Jungle, The Honeymooners, Looney Tunes.
Bullwinkle and Rocky.
Yeah, Bullwinkle and Rocky. And then there was Gilligan's Island. And by the way, are they still on that island with the USS Minnow? And did Ginger or even Marianne end up marrying the mad professor, the Dr. Kildare of the island? Oh, well, only God knows. Oh, and then I put my LOL there. That's my signature. Now, let's speed up in time to the news of what had just transpired within the past 24 hours of me writing this note. And this was leap year. He died on leap year. The lead singer of the Monkees, Davy Jones, died of a massive heart attack on Wednesday, February 29th, 2012, in Florida, when all of New England was getting hit with a massive snowstorm. The original forecast, and it kind of went back to rain, and as I'm giving you the forecast right now, and as I'm talking to you right now, it's March 1st still, at 10:21, and the snow is staying up in the air, but it's coming, but it's not really accumulating too much. So we're still in that snow. I don't know where you were all when you first heard the news, but I was in my bus listening to the weather on 10:30 WBZ when the newscast was broken with the news that Davy Jones had just passed away of a heart attack at 66 years of age. Not too old and still very young, and of course I was left there with a barrage of childhood memories of watching Davy Jones in the Monkees on Saturday morning cartoon and again on reruns on Channel 56. Here in the Boston area. I also was left with a question. What did Davy Jones leave behind in such a short-lived life? And the Lord said that he left a seeded message and a legacy to our generation every Saturday morning. And in order to understand this, look to the ending credit of the Monkees variety show. Even prior to this, the Lord gave me a dream that was very much like a show with the ending credits, the end, which could mean the end times, the end of life message. The dream had a group of men in the dream, and I wasn't making the connection, a group that everyone laughed with and laughed at, a group that was oftentimes not understood, but was an answer to the problems of the day, and that group was the Monkees. They had a message to a generation gone wild after the end of each show, and that was simply this message, and I took a caption of that, and we'll end with that. In this generation, in this loving time, in this generation, we will make the world to shine. We are called to love one another. This is something we all need. We are called to love one another. We must be what we are going to be, and all we have to be is free. We are not what we intended to be. We got to be free in this generation. In this generation, we got to be free. We got to be free. We just got to be free. You know, and Jesus won that freedom for us. You know, it's in him that we are free, all right? And we have to shine with his love. So I'm just going to leave you with that. I'm going to, we're going to end with the music version of We Got to Be Free. All right, so God bless you. I love you. And Lord, I just ask right now that you would just shine your face, shine your light, shine your face upon your people, Lord. They would be changed and transformed, and to look like you, smell like you, and be you to a world that wants to know who you are, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We love you guys.
Good night.
And we'll be back. God bless you. Bye bye.